You're listening to KVMR FM Nevada City, KCPC Camino, and it's time for The Sages Among Us. What makes a community great? Most importantly, it's the people who live and work there and who are engaged in community life. The Sages Among Us focuses on these people, what they do and why they do it, and celebrates the leadership, time, and energy they bring to making a positive difference for all of us.
And welcome to The Sages Among Us. I'm Holly Grimaldi Flores, your host this evening, and I have a very special guest. I've known this person for nearly 29 years, have never interviewed him in all of my years of broadcasting. His name's Ernie Flores. We happen to share the same last name and have for 23 years, going on 23 years, I think. Ernie grew up in San Francisco, actually South City. He is a Sarah High School graduate, and I'm going to start right there. Ernie Flores, tell me, how does a South City boy end up at Sarah High School?
Ooh, well, they came out to recruit us, actually. I was going to Catholic school, grammar school, and I remember they sent out some seniors to talk to the eighth graders, and that's how I got introduced to it. It sounded good to me, and I went home to my mom and begged her, and she said, okay, I'll send you.
And for those who don't know, Sarah High School, all boys school, right? Jesuit
yes.
school?
Jesuit school, all boys.
And famous for not only having Ernie Flores as Joe Sarah himself in his senior year, but some alumni that people may have heard of.
Yes, we do. I boast about Sarah High School having the most Super Bowl rings of any school in the nation, any high school in the nation.
Where would they have gotten those?
It's Lynn Swan played. He went to Sarah High School, and Tom Brady played, and he went to Sarah High School. I didn't know Tom Brady, but I did go to school with Lynn Swan.
And how was Lynn Swan as a classmate? Did you play football with Lynn Swan?
No, I didn't play with Lynn Swan. He was a senior, and I was a freshman. He was a really good guy, a great athlete. I remember going to Kezar Stadium to watch games with him when he was playing. And I remember they're always going for a championship, and they're playing St. Ignatius, one of our rival schools. And Lynn Swan basically took over the game. Who is that guy? I knew who he was, but man, it was something to watch.
So you knew he was going places.
We knew he was going places. We thought maybe he was going to get scholarships for his prowess at track and field, because he was a broad jumper, and he was a really good broad jumper. But he was also a good football player, and he decided to go to USC.
They have Super Bowl rings. Do they also have World Series rings at Sarah High School?
Yeah, we had Barry Bonds went to Sarah High School. I don't know if anybody remembers Barry Bonds. Ben and dad, Bobby Bonds, played with Willie Mays and Willie McCovey. And that's the era that I grew up in when I was a kid.
So you're not a child. You've been around for a little while. How did you end up in Nevada County?
Ooh, that's a very good question. I was looking for a place for my kids to grow up. I had two kids at the time, and they were small. I think it was 3 and 2 or 4 and 2, something like that. I don't remember specifically. Anyway, I wanted them to go to Catholic school, because I wanted them to get a good education. And I remember down there, I was living in San Jose at the time, and I remember knocking on St. Matthew's door and saying, hey, I want to put my kids in school. And they said, oh, here's the list. Sign the list, and it's about 3-4 years before we can get them in. And,
wow.
I said, what do you mean 3-4 years? Really? I can't just get them in? No, you can't just get them in. I said, okay. So I was training for Western States at the time, and I was doing runs in Auburn, and I happened to do a race in the Malakoff Diggings. It was called the Nugget 50. It was a 50-mile race, and it was horses and humans racing together. Anyway, I did the race.
Did the horses win?
No, the humans actually won the race. Because the horses, they get tired.
Oh, that's so funny.
It's funny. Anyway, I'm coming back through Grass Valley, and I stop off to get something to eat, and I see a church, and it's St. Patrick's. So I go, I knock on the door in St. Patrick's, and I say, hey, what is your waiting list for my kids to get in school? And the girl looked at me and she said, waiting list? What are you talking about, waiting list? Come on in.
Nice.
So that was how I got up here.
Part of it. Yeah. Yes. And for Western States, for people who don't know, what is that?
That is an endurance race that starts at Squaw Valley, or what do they call it now?
Palisades.
And it finishes at Placer High School, which kind of, I mean, back then, Placer High School was Mecca to me, but now it's like the enemy territory.
And that leads us into one of the things that I've known about you for almost as long as I've known you, and that is you are a high school football coach. So you're not loving Placer because you guys compete against Placer?
Yeah, it's a very, very competitive situation, a very competitive relationship. And I know Joey Montoya, the head coach at Placer, very well. He's also an ultra runner. And he used to coach with Dave Humphers, and that's where I met him. The first year that I was coaching, that's when I met him. And he was a young kid back then, so was I. And he went on to head coach at Pioneer, and he went, you know, he had a couple of places that he went to, and he finally eventually ended up at Placer. So I kept in touch with him the whole time. Anyway, so that's the relationship I have with Placer, and they keep beating us, and then I hate that. I don't like getting beat.
He's not a very good loser. That I know for sure. So one of the things I ask my guests is if you had mentors growing up, and I asked you that before, and you said you had mentors, people you looked up to, but people that weren't necessarily good examples?
Yeah, when I was 18, 19, 20 years old, I went to college for 1 year, and I decided, this isn't for me. I'm aggressive. I want to get out there and live my life. So I went out there and learned a trade and got a job at United Airlines. And I was probably 19, 20 years old at the time, and I was a welder. And the friends that I looked up to at United Airlines were not the best of people in the world. They were heavy drinkers, womanizers, things like that. But they were my mentors. They were the people that I looked up to.
And then you realized that wasn't the way to go. And so when you relocated to Nevada County, did you meet other people in senior positions or in the community that you found yourself admiring?
I think I met people in business because I started my first company when I was 19. And I remember because I got laid off at United, and that was probably the best thing that could ever happen to me because it got me away from that kind of a bad crowd, and it got me on my own. And so I looked up to people that I knew or I had relationships with in business. That's who my mentors were at the time, successful business people. And we're not talking big companies. We're talking small. I had a little fabrication shop, had maybe 10 guys working for me. And so those are the people that I looked up to when I was growing up down there in San Jose. When I moved up here, I gravitated towards sports because that's what I do. And I remember I got my kids involved in football kind of serendipitously through, I wanted them to play at Nevada Union because that was the school. But their program was so full, they said you have to have a waiting list. Well, you know how I feel about waiting lists.
There's a pattern here.
So I took them down to Bear River because I found out that they're starting a program down at Bear River, and that's how I got into football.
That was Bear River's their junior program, like their first year, right?
That was their very first year, yeah. And you know, what I do is I kind of get in and I try to help as much as I possibly can. And the head coach at the time, Dave Morton, saw me on the sidelines intently watching my kids play, and he came over to me and he said, hey, I noticed that you're very intense. How would you like to coach? And that was the beginning.
And that, I would say the rest is history. You're listening to The Sages Among Us. I'm Holly Grimaldi Flores. My guest tonight is Ernie Flores, Nevada Union varsity football coach. Ernie has been coaching football for 28 years,
something like
I'm
that.
Thinking.
28, something like that. I don't know.
And I know that you've been involved in other places in the community. So before we talk about the long football career, there's other places because you did have your kids go through for at least a little bit Mount St. Mary's. And I know that as they were going through St. Patrick's, you mentored and helped in that arena.
Yeah, when my kids were of the age where they're confirmation, which is 12 and 13, I started to do youth ministry at St. Patrick's. And Patty Hobbs was the coordinator at the time, and we got off real well, and so she kind of kept pushing me into the to contribute. And so that's really was one of my first things, our first volunteer things that I did. And I really loved youth ministry. It was really it was gratifying. I loved giving of myself to the kids, and it was something that I didn't expect that I would ever do.
Well, and we should mention that you went from two kids to four kids to five, at this point, five boys you're raising in Nevada County.
Yeah, five boys in Nevada County.
And so when the kids got older and you started coaching football, you started with youth football.
That's correct. I started the youth football at Bear River, and I coached there all the way up until 2000. And then I moved to Grass Valley proper. And the commute to Bear River was way too much. I couldn't do it. So I decided to knock on Nevada Union's door, and got my kids into the youth program up there. And I coached, I think, 3 or 4 years with the youth program in at Nevada Union. And Gino Steffen, who was a varsity coach at the time, would come down and watch us practice. And I got to know Gino. And Gino went to Dave Humphers, who was a head coach at the time, said, "Hey, I got this coach. I think you'd really like him. He's very intense, probably a little bit too intense for the youth. What do you think about bringing him up?" So I sat down with Dave, and Dave said, "You know what? Would you like to coach varsity football?" And I said, "Well, let me ask my wife, because it's a real commitment to do." And so I remember I went home, and I got on one knee, and I asked my wife, "Hey, what do you think about if I coached varsity football?" And I said, "It's a big commitment, but I won't do it unless you support me." And
yes.
What did you say?
I said, "Well, of course I support you," but I had no idea what I was saying yes to. So, and in those Dave Humphreys years, it was pretty intense. I don't know how the kids ever ate, got homework done, or slept. That's in looking back. It was a lot of hours.
It's funny. One of the players, Nick Cartan, would say, football is like this. You get up in the morning, you go practice, and then something would happen in the middle of the day, and then you get out of class and you go practice football, and everything else around it was just stuff. Football was the thing that we did, and that really was how it was.
And that's how it won championships. So the youngest graduated in 2012, and many parents, when they volunteer, whether it be at Girl Scouts or Cub Scouts or whatever, chorus, usually when the kids graduate, the parents seem to be done because they're doing it with their kids. However, that is not the case with you. So I'm wondering, what keeps you coaching?
Well, that goes back to all of the hardships that I faced in my life, and I faced many hardships, some of them self-inflicted, but they were hardships, and I had to go through them. And I know that what I learned in football, the tenacity, the work ethic, you just stick to it. If you say you're going to do something, you do it. And I learned that, and that's what got me through those really, really hard times. Because if I look back at it, I would say, how in the heck did I get through that? And I would say, "That's, of course I did. I learned that at a young age, how to do that." And so when I got to coaching, I wanted to give the same thing. I wanted to give that away because it was so important in my life, and it made such a huge difference in my life that I thought, this is something that I can give. Even after my kids graduate, I can still continue to give that away. And that's why I do it.
Well, and we talk a lot about the mentoring and relationship, and you had mentors that weren't necessarily a good influence. And I know that football is almost a byproduct when you're coaching, because you are making a difference with these kids, teaching them things that they might not be getting anywhere else. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah. In a season, it's kind of a microcosm of life. And you see these kids go through these real, real down, hard times, and they're hard on themselves. They're not doing as well as they want to do. Maybe they aren't starting, or maybe they are starting and they're not playing very well, or whatever that is. Those are the situations that I look for to, so I can contribute what I know to them. And I've had a chance to do that over the past few years, and it makes a tremendous difference in my life. It enlivens me to do that. It makes me relevant. And I think that's probably the biggest fear of at least myself, but I think that I'm not the only one, that as you grow older, you're afraid that you're not as relevant as you used to be. And that's not the case.
It's a societal thing, right? In America, we put our old people away. We don't embrace them and take their knowledge and their wisdom as we should, or as they do in so many other cultures. And so I could see where that would be a fear. And I was going to ask you, is some of the examples that you might have of knowing that, and I will give you one to start you off. We go to a restaurant and we're having breakfast, and there's a former player. He's not been in the game in 5 or 6 years, and he sees you and he lights up and often lifts you up because you guys can't see him, but my husband is not as big as most of the Nevada Union line. And so they do tend to tower over you. So that tells me, oh, you made an impact. How do you see that?
Well, I really see the kids more. It's funny because I see them as peers. And I think that's what keeps me relevant and young. Is I see them, I could really identify what they're going through because I remember, for me, what I went through. And so I think, and in particular, I remember that kid that you were talking about, and he said, you know, one of the things I remember about you is you treated me like a friend. And that was important to me to hear that. Not that I did it intentionally, but it just is a matter of course. And that's really what I try to do. I have players that I've known 20 years now, more than that, that I still stay in touch with. And it's friendship. It is a friendship. And the thing about it is I saw that 20 years ago when I met the person and I was coaching him. I said, I'm going to be a friend with him. And that's, 20 years later, fast forward, and there he is in my life still, which is really cool.
Well, I think people who think about football, it gets a little bit of a bad rap. There's some violence, injuries, et cetera, and it's pretty consuming. But you always say to me, everything that there is that you face in life, you can face on the field. And so you're helping kids get through some of those tough times. And what are they learning?
Without a doubt, you're helping them get through challenges that they're going to face later on in life. And that's the gratifying part about it, is the initial problem that they have or whatever that is that's bothering them, you can help them get through it knowing that they're going to face that again and again and again and again. And the better they get at facing it and overcoming it, the more successful their lives are going to be and the more they can contribute to other people.
Part of that don't quit mentality that you teach them.
Well, I don't know if I wanted to say this, but I remember going to a counselor, you and I, and I used to be a professional prize fighter. I would get paid money to beat people up. And the thing about me is I wasn't that talented, but man, you get me in the ring, let me get you in the corner, and you're not going to get out until you're on the ground. That's the kind of mentality that I have. Not that I did that all the time, because I've had my fights where the guy got the better of me. But that's my mentality. That's my attitude.
And that helps you when you're coaching these kids and teaching them giving up isn't an option.
Giving up is not an option. I got to say this about, thank God for Brad Sparks, because he's the one that allows his coaches, and I'm talking about the older coaches, to contribute. And he encourages us to do that. And that's rare, I think, because really, when you're a head coach, you got to win. You got to win.
And at all costs.
I'm not going to say at all costs. At some level, yes, you got to win at all costs. But also, you have to realize that you can't sacrifice the contribution of your staff for trying to win at all costs. You can't do that. And if you do, I don't think you're going to be all that successful.
Because it does start at the top, as it with any organization, right? Flows down.
Yes.
You're listening to The Sages Among Us. I'm Holly Grimaldi Flores. My guest tonight is Ernie Flores, Nevada Union High School football coach for 28 years and still going, still making a difference. And I'm going to move on to other things, but I would be remiss if I didn't say, so it's early. How's the season going to look this year?
I believe we're going to have a good team this year. I'm looking forward. We have some really, really good running backs, and that's the position that I coach. We also have a very strong offensive line, and I love our defense. I love Jim Rubiales is our defensive coordinator, and I look forward to the simplistic defense that he puts out there because even I can understand it, and I don't really like complex defenses. I like simplicity, and I think the kids do too.
So I thought I was going to get off football, but that just triggered something else for me. So you brought up the Dave Humphreys years, which were, from my perspective, grueling because they were when our kids were playing and the hours were long. And for those who don't know, football is actually 7 days a week for the coaches because you've got practice Monday through Thursday. You've got a game on Friday. You've got film on Saturday. You've got coaches meeting on Sunday, and then you're back at it on Monday. And those were big winning years, state championships and section titles.
I have two section title rings with Dave.
But then the program took a little bit of a turn, and there were some really, really hard years. So how was it going from being really the top of the heap to just like trying to get a one win in the win column for a season?
Okay, that was a very good test of my tenacity, that I wasn't going to quit, that I wasn't going to give up, that I was going to coach just as hard as I did when we were winning championships. And that's really what I did. And it's hard to put yourself out that much, that hard all the time and not have any success. Winning is a measurement of success. So that was very difficult to go through. However, I can say that those years, some of those kids, I had the best relationships with some of those kids in those years because we all went through it together.
Winning is easy. Losing is hard.
Yeah, winning's not easy, but losing's harder.
Got it. Well, I know that for people who have retired recently, and you are only a couple of years into retirement, making that shift from a 9-to-5 or entrepreneur or business person to then staying relevant, a lot of your value comes in what you contribute as a volunteer or as, I guess, coaching is somewhat volunteer. I always say it's not minimum wage, for sure.
You make about 5 cents an hour.
Yeah, for the hours that you put in. So I know football's important. You also have the discipline of running, and you play some golf, keeping yourself busy. We've got a little house projects that I'm keeping you pretty busy with. What kind of advice would you give to people who are trying to figure out, what do I do now with this next chapter?
Well, I would say think about the two things. Think about the things that you've been putting off forever because you work. I can't do it. I'm working for this. I don't have the time, whatever that is. Think about those things and consider doing something about that. Maybe you want to take up golf. Maybe you've never played golf before because you didn't have the time. Maybe you want to take it up. Those kinds of things is what my advice would be.
And being part of a community, I think, is so important. You have the football community, and we have been, obviously, in this community for decades. So I would talk about maybe some of the changes that have been happening here. And so a little background, Ernie and I have very different political backgrounds, I would say, when we were met. He's very conservative. I'm very not. And we have kind of melded to the middle somewhere. But you're seeing changes. We were talking about in the community that actually part of the draw for you was that this was a conservative community, and you don't think it is anymore.
No. When I moved up, it was very, very conservative, very Republican. And I was, my point of view was business, make money, be successful, those kinds of things at all cost, just like winning. And so I had a very conservative attitude. If you're not willing to work hard for something, then get out of my face, you know, go away. Okay. That was very early on in my life. When I moved up here, I met very like-minded people up here. And over the years, I moved up in 89, and over the years, this area has turned very liberal from my point of view.
Thankfully.
So have I. I've kind of gotten away from that very staunch conservative to, I'll say, middle of the road kind of guy. Like, if it makes sense, yeah, do it. And if it doesn't make sense, why are you doing that? That's my point of view.
Well, one of the things we talk about in when you moved up here is how small the town was. Then there weren't any. Was there a traffic light yet? Was there one?
Yeah, I think we had one traffic light. And that's, if I had anything to change about this town, it would be get rid of the damn traffic lights. I remember we moved up here and there was a saying that we'd have. He said, "Welcome to Grass Valley, now go home."
Yeah, it was pull up the ladder because we didn't want anyone else to know. But thankfully, other people did come behind you.
Absolutely. Like guys like Marty. Marty Lombardi.
I was thinking about me, but but yes, like a Marty Lombardi,
yeah,
for instance.
Yeah. I agree. I agree. Those kinds of relationships have changed my point of view.
So how long do you think that you will continue coaching high school football?
As long as I can be relevant, as long as I can move. I used to be able to run every drill with the running backs. Now I run every other drill.
But you're a runner.
Yeah, I'm a slow runner.
Got it.
A snail.
And if you had something, I know now, because many of those kids are still in this community and, like you said, have become business people themselves and they have families of them on their own. It's time for that next generation to start giving and giving back. Do you see that?
Absolutely. I just, in my own personal coaching, Brad's bringing on a couple of new people and they're younger. And they have an interest in coaching. And so that's also where you can mentor somebody, how to do it, what to look for, how to contribute yourself.
So you're mentoring the coaches that are coming up.
Absolutely. Because I'm not going to be doing this forever.
No.
No.
Just as long as you're making a difference.
As long as I can run up and down the field, I'll do it.
Well, what would you say are some of the challenges for people? Because you didn't know football. I mean, you knew football, but you didn't know how to coach. How did you learn how to coach?
I think that was innate. I think it was just something that I bit from business. I would, because you coach people in business and I teach people in business. So it was the same thing.
Well, that's what we're talking about when we're talking about sages among us, that there are these met our whole population, maybe not the entire, but a good part of our population is giving back to our community, and how, as we are getting older, how important it is that we do mentor the next generation to come up.
I think that's totally our responsibility to do that.
As humans or community members?
Just as human beings, yeah, as good people. I think that's what you do. We have grandkids, and so you have to make sure that life continues the way that you've experienced to be.
Well, I look at the world right now, and I don't feel super positive about what we're leaving for these grandchildren. Is there anything that you would, in a minute and a half, say that you would change or you would want to see for them?
I sure would like to see the finger pointing out of politics. I think it's gotten so awful, so personal, so vindictive that it's about the politicians and their feelings rather than the people and really being a politician and, you know, governing people.
That they became careers rather than about the people,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. And I changed that. I would change that.
Well, we've got about 45 seconds, so I just want to ask one last question, and that is, what would you do if there weren't any stoplights with all these people? All right, that was an open-ended question. You've been listening to The Sages Among Us. I'm Holly Grimaldi Flores. My guest tonight was Ernie Flores. If you want to hear any more about mentoring or coaching, you'll find him on the sidelines at Nevada Union. When does practice start?
It starts in April.
That's perfect.
Yeah.
And you're listening to KVMR.
Thank you.